despite the fact that many hour two in the zone. Welcome back. Appreciate you tuning in today, Justin Akery, the second most argumentative person on the show today, with Christina LaCure in the house. And Nate Olson is here. Christina will be going third person repeatedly in hour number two, so you have that to look forward to.
I just wanted to do it that one time.
Nate, if you want to call yourself Nate repeatedly, it'll be fine with me as well.
How about Nate Dogg? I just refer to myself as Nate Dogg.
Turnabout's fair play, my friend. All right. Go with it. If you feel good about it, roll with it.
Well,
can you smell what the zone is cooking? It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
The SEC teleconference underway right now as we speak. We will talk to Barrett Salee, BleacherReport.com, at 12:30. Get his overall view on what comes out of that today. I'm a guess. Brett Bielema doesn't spend a whole lot of time talking about who his starting quarterback will be. What do you think?
That's wrong. He's already on Twitter.
What'd he say?
Barrett said that Brennan is for sure traveling with them and that he will be a game time decision.
So he hasn't settled it out then?
Hasn't settled it out, but he's talking about it. I thought you said he wasn't talking about it.
He's not going to say who the starting quarterback is.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, still up in the air at this point, but that's good news that he will be traveling, so that means he has a snowball's chance in Hades of playing. At least a much better chance than if he stayed in Fayetteville, which would mean it would be roughly, what, zero?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If he played in the game and he was in Fayetteville, that'd be really weird. But apparently they're hopeful that AJ can do well. Coach Cheney said yesterday, I think AJ's got a wonderful feel for the game. He gets it. He understands it. There were 10 guys over here and one guy over there. Let's run over there. Hey, you know what? There's something he said for common sense. I'm with you on that. Also get Austin Tate back this week, and going to get Gaines back as well, it looks like, at safety. So we'll hopefully hear from – I don't know if we're going to get clips or not. Maybe we can ask around, see if anybody can pull it. I don't expect you to do it. Certainly you're busy in there. But I do want you to go third person as much as you can the second hour as well, Matt, if you can today.
He can do that.
Yes, he can. What else can Matt do?
Matt can be a very good boy. I don't know.
Arkansas head coach Brett Bielema's contract. I'm assuming he's not talking about that on Twitter?
Not yet.
Okay. First-year Arkansas coach. His contract has been released. I don't know why it takes so long for this to come out.
Actually, that's not true. It's him with just a whole bunch of dollar signs. That's all he's got right now.
The first-year Arkansas coach will make $2.95 annually with on-field and academic incentives, totaling an additional $700,000 each year. Yikes, that's a lot. It runs through December 31st of 2018, according to a USA Today database. He would be the 12th highest paid head coach in college football. And his contract includes no compete with other SEC schools. Somebody learned from their mistakes over the years. Or other people's mistakes. If he gets fired, he stands to be paid $12.8 million through the 2015 season, with decreasing totals to $3.2 million by the final year of the contract. If he leaves, he would owe the university $3 million for the first year, with the total decreasing by $500,000 after each year. The incentives include $350,000 for a national championship, $300,000 for playing in a national championship, $200,000 for playing in the national semifinals game and starting in 2014, and $100,000 for winning an SEC championship. It doesn't say if he gets any money for playing in the SEC championship, but I would think that a Western Division championship should bring you something. Academic incentives also listed in the contract, but I'm not going to bore any of the listeners with that because nobody cares what the kids do in the classroom. All we want to know is the kid eligible?
He gets like $50 for those, right?
No, I think it's actually a significant number, maybe even a six-figure number, but most people aren't too concerned with that. Drew from Searcy wants to weigh in on the QB situation, so I'm going to take his call first. But we are going to delve into a little bit this Clay Travis column, which got everybody all riled up yesterday afternoon.
No relation.
Good point.
Big baby.
Good point. The 10 dumbest fan bases in America, and he is going pro and college, which puts Arkansas at number 4 in pretty lofty company. I'm really curious to see who he's got 1 through 3.
Yeah, I've got a blog ready to go up talking about him. So I'm watching the Iowa State game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Guess who the halftime analyst is?
Who?
Him.
Clay Travis?
Yeah, which I don't understand why. He's
Fox,
an SEC guy.
Must have been a Fox game.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it was. It was Fox Sports 1, but can't figure out why he's on there since he knows nothing about anything north of the Mason-Dixon line. This guy is a Southern guy. He talks about the SEC. He talks about Nashville sports. He's on there. I listened to about a minute of it. He had no idea what was going on in the Iowa State game, so I turned it to SpongeBob SquarePants because my kids were wanting to watch that, and that was more entertaining and informative probably.
The Fox Sports broadcast, they got the whole panel up there with Reej. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about a debacle.
Yeah.
I mean, half the people are like checking their Twitter accounts during it. It's like another show I know.
Hey, I've got the article up, all right?
Good information. What's up, Drew?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
Great. Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in. Of course, I'm a huge Razorback fan, and I think that we've been very solid at the quarterback position, obviously, for the last few years. When you look at guys like Mallett, you know, and then you look at guys like Tyler, and Brandon Allen seems to be right there with us. You know, A.J. Derby, what I wanted to talk to you about is let's talk about where he's from, what gives, you know, what has he done, what has he accomplished that would get him to a major SEC conference college like Arkansas. And, you know, give us some insight on where he's from, what he's been doing. And, you know, I thought he didn't look too bad, looked pretty nervous. But obviously, if we're going to go against powerhouses, like Alabama and SEC schools, we've got to be able to throw the ball, period. And so what does his numbers look like? And talk a little bit about AJ. We know Brandon's going to come back at some point. And I look, obviously, I'll be quiet after a second. I want to tell you this too. But Brandon, I like to see the mobility that he had. I mean, obviously it hurt him in the end zone, but it looks like, you know, some of these guys may be getting inspired by Manziel that they can run and that they can be very mobile and still be a great pocket passer as well. Maybe you could talk about that just a little bit.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Drew. Both those guys are actually, you know, are not afraid to run the football. And, yeah, I think Brandon Allen probably doesn't get enough credit for his athleticism, but the problem is while he is movable, the ground is not. And if you dive shoulder first into the ground, you're going to injure your shoulder.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Derby's he's an Iowa City native, right?
He is, and he was an all-everything player there, highly recruited. He went to Iowa. Didn't work out there. I think they wanted to move him to linebacker, which a lot of Iowa fans have told me they thought that he probably would be in the NFL playing linebacker already. He was that good. Went to junior college, was recruited by Houston and a few other schools. Came to Arkansas as a walk-on because his dad played football at Iowa with Bielema. Mm-hmm. So that was the connection there. Not on scholarship. Went there because he knew him. There was a connection there. Turned down scholarship offers to some of the smaller schools like Houston and some other. There was a couple others, I think, that had offered him. And put up some pretty good numbers in junior college. But I think a lot of people at Iowa thought he would have been better suited as a linebacker.
Yeah, and I think he put up pretty gaudy numbers in JUCO, too, which a lot of guys do, although I don't think his completion percentage was very high. So, anyway, I mean, look, like I said earlier, I think he's going to be fine. He actually went to the semifinals in junior college. 149 to 321. I'm no mathematician, but that's less than 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Around 2,000 yards, 22 touchdowns. 9 games, a redshirt freshman at Iowa in 2011, completed 3 passes for a total of 30 yards, which frankly is about 10 times more than I've seen most quarterbacks complete at Iowa in recent years. First team All-State honors following his junior and senior seasons led City to the state championship. I'm assuming that's Iowa City High.
City High, yep.
During his senior season at City, completed 90 of 187. Again, right around 50%, not great. He also ran for 752 yards on 142 carries. So he's a pretty big, durable guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he's 6'5", 240. I mean, the guy can run around a little bit. He's not Brandon Mitchell by any stretch of the imagination, but he does give you a big, you know, big, durable fellow that can run around a little bit. So, I mean, he's not going to be afraid.
Punishment.
Yeah, he's not going to be afraid of contact, although the last thing you want is for him to go down if he's the starter this week.
Yeah, well, I think that it is so difficult when you're sitting there cold to go in the game like that. He hasn't prepared like he's a starter. This week you've got the benefit of him working with the coaches like he's going to start the ball game, whether he does or not. It's on his mind. He's sitting in the film room. And you're supposed to, every week, prepare like you're going to play.
Right.
But these are 19-year-old kids, and you know probably they don't like they know if they're going to start it. So I look for him to be a lot improved. I was kind of surprised that he couldn't handle the shotgun snap. I think a lot of it was just he was nervous and couldn't believe he was in the ball game, and he hasn't played. You know, so that's tough when you haven't played at all, and then you go in there in a new system, a new school, and everything.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how he performs this week. I'm still assuming he's going to be the guy. And Brett Bielema, of course, doesn't have to announce because it's not the NFL.
Yep.
So he'll be as ambiguous as he possibly can be throughout until they kick off on Saturday. 2:30 game, which means the pregame starts 3 hours prior to that, which is like, I don't know, 11:30?
Nationally broadcast, though, is it not?
Yeah. ESPN.
ESPN, yeah.
11:30 pregame from IMG. We will start our Hog Wild pregame at 10:30 Saturday morning. Yes,
is this
sir?
A special extended edition?
No, that's next week.
Next
We're doing
week,
a special 90-minute version. I do want to announce,
for the Texas
too,
A&M game.
Right. When Arkansas takes on Johnny Football and the rest of his cohorts, we're doing a special 90-minute pregame. We are going to be at Jose's on Dixon Street. We settled that out this week.
Nice.
So we're going to do the show live up there a week from Friday. We are going to be at Jose's then as well. And then on Saturday morning, we'll start there around, well, I guess it'll be afternoon. It'll be right around noon. Broadcast starts at 1:30, kick at 6. And that game's going to be ESPN2 or ESPNU, as we, or maybe and ESPNU. I don't know if it's either or both. But anyway, so going to be a fun weekend in Fayetteville next weekend. I'm excited about that. But we've got a lot of folks going on.
It's been sold out for weeks, haven't it?
I think there's still single game, single seats left.
I saw on Twitter a couple days ago that it was for sure sold out.
Okay.
But
well, yeah. I had a friend that went online yesterday and said that he could get a single seat, but nothing more than that. So I don't know. I do know that a lot of people will be there and a lot of people will be paying attention to it, and especially if Arkansas wins this week and is 4-0 taking on an A&M team with only one loss, I would say that it would be, you know, I think it's pretty heavily watched regardless. Johnny Manziel, as we said, is worth the price of admission. But it'll be a fun day, and we're gonna have a good time. So
we'll be fun, yeah.
Hopefully. I was asking earlier, if they're a top 10 team and Arkansas wins, or right around the top 10, whatever they're ranked at right now, do you tear down the goalpost if you win that game?
Arkansas is going to win against A&M?
I'm not saying I'm picking them. I'm saying if you win. If you win the game, is that a goalpost tear?
I think so.
You think so?
Ring in the Bielema era. First
sure.
big win of Brett Bielema.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the article you have in your hand, this coincides perfectly.
I think it's fun. I don't think they've torn a goalpost down since the Tennessee game, unless I'm mistaken. Did I miss one along the way?
Yeah, I
was down there.
Might be.
I remember being on the field interviewing a kid that was bleeding after being hit by the goalpost as it was coming down. He was thrilled. Couldn't be in a better mood.
A little lubricated, I'm sure.
Yes, very lubricated. I still have a picture of me standing in front of the goalpost as it was propped up against the brew pub downtown on Dixon, so that was fun. All right, so this Clay Travis story, and look, this is what Clay Travis does. I think he's really funny. I remember the first experience I had with him was when he wrote Dixieland Delight, which basically he took a tour of every single SEC environment, or the SEC environment as it was at the time, before the league expanded. I do point out that he did not come to Little Rock for a game, as I told him he needed to. But I thought he did a good job. And he assessed the women. He assessed the culture. He assessed the food. He assessed the stadium. He assessed the whole experience. I thought it was a really good read. I think he's obviously a very bright guy. He's got a law degree. He's one of those guys. He's like the Pigskin. The Pigskin Preacher is a Michigan fan who went to Michigan State. He is a lifelong Tennessee fan who graduated from Vanderbilt. I think
Vandy Law School. He went to GW, George Washington undergrad,
okay.
and was a manager for the basketball team.
Okay, somebody's got to carry the water.
Yeah, and wash the jocks.
So he wrote a recent column, and here's the thing about stuff like this: I don't take offense to it. A lot of people get bent out of shape,
It's good
publicity for him. It's not good
exactly
for Arkansas.
Him.
But
no.
A lot of people here get bent out of shape about it. It's the 10 dumbest fan bases in America, according to Clay Travis. He does have a couple of funny phrases in here, a couple lines in here that are fairly amusing. But there are a lot of cliches and things about the South that he pokes at. Yeah. And again, he is a Southerner. He did grow up. I think most of his family went to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Doesn't he do a radio show in Tennessee?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
3 to 6, yeah.
I think the guy's...
It's actually called The Zone, believe it or not.
Loser. I think the guy's amusing, but... a lot of people are freaking out about this, and it's made a lot of news, and people are talking about it all over the place. I don't know. I just don't get that bent out of shape about it. I think it doesn't help us as a fan base when you go at him for writing stupid things like this. But
yeah,
so
well, then he makes fun of you when you write, when you email him, then he puts it on there and makes fun of the people. But
here's how it starts. What would happen if every dumb person in the nation's dumbest southern state all rooted for the same team? You'd have the Arkansas Razorback fan base. Razorback fan idiocy is pure, undistilled, unadulterated stupidity. If you drank it, you'd be drunk for a month in a row and would probably go blind. That's how he starts the column. It gets worse from there. You can read it for yourself if you're interested. I'll give him his publicity, but that's enough. The 10 dumbest fan base in America yet to be revealed, although he starts with the Tennessee Volunteers, the team that he roots for. Yeah. So I will give him credit there. The Dallas Cowboys at 9. So
which is kind of a true statement.
There is no question the Cowboy fan base is the dumbest,
most loving, illogical
fan base in America.
Yeah, it's so crazy. But when I think of football, I think of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that's the whole premise behind it is everyone will always cheer for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, no matter how long he keeps Tony Romo, which is the stupidest thing ever. I know RJ.
It's really not the stupidest thing ever, but it may not be the best decision for them. But it's,
I know RJ Hawk is going to
It's awfully easy to make a case for Tony Romo. There are plenty of negatives about him, but he does do a pretty darn good job, at least statistically
speaking. Of securing
speaking.
His job.
Well, I mean, they think the world of him. And how many guys would you take over Tony Romo? It's a debate that's been had many, many times over.
He has no help most
right
of the
now?
Time.
What?
That are open right now?
How many quarterbacks in the NFL today would you take over Tony Romo?
Oh, a lot.
Well, how many? 2, 5, 12, 18, 32?
Probably 5.
There are, okay, 5. That's not a lot. There's 32 teams in the NFL.
Yeah. It's a small percentage.
I mean, you're not going to get Drew Brees tomorrow. And
Drew Brees, both of the Mannings, Cutler.
See, I wouldn't take Cutler over Romo.
You wouldn't?
No.
No chance.
I don't think I'd take Eli Manning over him either. The difference between those two guys, well.
Come on.
Here's the difference. He plays for an organization that has help around him. I think if you plugged Romo in at the Giants, they win the Super Bowl just like they did with Eli.
Well, you're assuming that David Tyree still sticks that ball to his helmet?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and that Romo could get it down there to him.
Christina, you make a valid point. I mean, look, he's frustrating. I'm glad he's not my quarterback. I'd much rather have a guy like Aaron Rodgers for the team that I root for. It's a totally different kind of deal, but he's consistent and he does things a little differently. Romo lives on the edge. I mean, he's kind of like Favre was. Favre was very similar, except Favre won a lot.
What about Roethlisberger? Like, even though he's 0-2, I would take him.
Well, no, Roethlisberger's won multiple Super Bowls. He's easy. That's an easy pick. I mean, that's an easy one. It's a different deal.
I think Tony's in the top 10. You know, I think he's a top 10 quarterback.
I don't think there's
so there might be 8 or, you know, 7-8 that you take ahead of him. That's still pretty good, though. And what's happened with him is, you know, against Kansas City, who I was rooting for the Chiefs, that's my team, throws to Dez Bryant, he drops the ball.
Oh,
I mean, that's
right
not
in
his fault.
Hands, like right off his hands.
I mean, that's not his fault. And that's happened, you know, numerous times over the years. There's been a lot of bad luck that he's been associated with.
I like watching him. I'm, you know, since I've been here about 11 years, my new family here, they all really enjoy the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, I enjoy watching them as well. I enjoy for someone to cheer for, but at the same time, it's just
I don't root against the Cowboys. They're not my team, but
in the 11 years that I've been here, they've gone to the playoffs twice.
Yeah, I mean,
so
look,
it's like holy cow.
Yeah, they have not achieved at a high level since he's been there as quarterback. The West Virginia Mountaineers at number 8. I don't know anything about their fan base, so I couldn't possibly comment on that.
I don't think he does either.
West Virginia, that might be.
West Virginia is easy to make fun of. We joke that they're
Arkansas. That's why he picked us.
We vote that we joke around that they're. Fight song is Dueling Banjos, which I don't think it is officially. The Oakland Raiders at 7, that's an easy one for me to sell. Yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers at 6. That's tough. I don't know about that one. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish at 5, I'm all about that. Yeah. not a Notre Dame fan. Anyway, so we'll see who else he reveals beyond Arkansas at 4. The top 3, what do you think the 3 will be, top 3?
Alabama's got to be in there with killing trees and everything, shooting each other over games. Got to be. Alabama?
Okay. Who else?
Professional
or college.
Is it baseball and stuff too, or just
football?
Yeah,
I think
football?
It's anything. It says
fan
bases.
Well, I think the Red Sox should be in there somewhere.
Okay.
Chicago
Maybe the Cubs.
Number 1,
Maybe.
Folks.
Yeah.
I'm putting that out there.
Well, I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm a Cub fan.
I called
but
it first.
Chicago Alabama
Cubs.
With just what Harvey Updike did alone. He's got to be number 1.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got 2 of the 3.
Let me get Jim. Well, maybe we do. We'll see. Jimmy?
He was tired of
Have you guys heard of a recruit named Brandon Smith?
Braden Smith.
Braden Smith, excuse me.
He's an offensive lineman from Kansas. He's big. Everybody's after him. Everybody who's anybody who's after him is after him, including Arkansas. But that also includes Alabama and A&M, so let me guess. He's definitely coming to Arkansas. I'm part of the delusional
According
fan
to the
base.
Delusional fan base.
That's
he is
me.
Definitely coming to Arkansas. Absolutely.
Sync Weekly, another fine edition. Nate will preview it.
Okay.
If you agree to go third person, though.
Nate will preview it.
There you go.
Did it one time. One time.
It's cool.
Go ahead. Christina's going to talk about something else after. Go ahead, Nate.
Okay. I'm going to talk about.